Ready. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you all to the church on this rainy day, this much-needed rain that we can't complain about now. The announcements are mostly in the bulletin. Vacation Bible School is coming up, and they need some stuff. It's based on a Welcome to Wemexville theme, Max Lucado books. And if you want to help, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. And Joanne is needing some stuff for crafts. Are you still needing that stuff, Joanne? A few more boxes and lids, I guess.
No, just the lids.
Oh, just the lids. Okay. The church picnic is June 17th. That's Father's Day at Big Prairie Hall. Coffee will be 10, and the service will be at 11. Piano lessons in Cremona. There's a sign-up sheet out on the bulletin board. We still need lawnmowers on the sign-up sheet in the foyer. And the youth group is offering to work. You can hire members of the youth for $10 an hour. So that'll be good to get you up to speed with your spring work. I have an announcement that the United Church is celebrating their 75th anniversary today, June 10th, at 3 p.m. Everyone is most cordially invited, and lunch follows a short ceremony. So that's really something to celebrate for them. I have one more announcement. I believe Edward has an announcement about a program that's been, I think it's been up and running for a little while, if I understand him correctly. Edward, this mic is the only one that's
working. This one's the only one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a driver of Rocky View Regional Handy Bus Society. And at the moment, there's a six-month little project going on. We're 2 months into it. The thing is, I'd like to see this project get the proper run that it should get. But we're actually 2 months into it, and I recently found out that Carstairs, Didsbury, and Cremona, well, the numbers are up in Didsbury and Carstairs. Cremona's... The sad part is, when this project goes in 4 months, Carstairs and Didsbury will probably be still on. We already are driving in Cochrane. I'd like to see this project get at least a good shot here in Cremona. And even though it's just a transit service, like the Tri-Community, it's a project, we're trying to do something that we feel the community can use. I understand the idea of independence with people driving type of thing, but not everybody can drive. And this is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. We pick you up, we drive you to wherever you need to go in the city of Calgary, doctor's appointment, shopping mall. You might be an able-bodied person, you might end up riding with a special needs person, but the service is here now. The brochures and that are out in the foyer, and I'm willing to talk to anybody because I'd like to see this project get a good shot. And then that way, if it goes, it goes. If it doesn't, at least I can say I tried. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Edward. That sounds like a really nice program. And if we can use it while it's a trial project, that would be the best. Susan has an announcement.
Just a reminder of the Little Get Together next Saturday at 1:30 here at the church to celebrate Jillian's arrival to our community and to family. Please join us for...
Thank you, Susan. Oh, we have another announcement.
More information on the church picnic, reminder that it's a potluck lunch, and please bring your own plates and mugs and cutlery for that.
That's right, that's right.
And
some lawn chairs.
And some lawn chairs.
Yes. All right. Are there any other announcements this morning? Well, then please join me in silent prayer.
Thank you.
God, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. We will now start with our approach choruses.
So if you'd like to rise and join us, we're going to start with Ancient Words. Continue with written in the word. We've done this before, and the chorus in this, there's a whole bunch of na 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 na's. We were having a debate before if there's the right number of na na's on the screen, and if it loses its meaning if we have one too many. So follow along.
Written in the word, in the good, good word, is a message from our God. Let me tell you all about how to get to the kingdom. The good life. Everybody's in here.
well done. We're going to prepare our hearts for worship with Once Again.
Join me now in our opening prayer and Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Father, hear our prayers this morning. Hear us, we pray, as we praise your name, as we read your living word and study your truths. As we gather in your house this morning, please accept our worship. We offer ourselves for this time and for the week ahead to your instruction, correction, and your compassion. Speak to our needs, Lord, and open our ears and hearts to your message for us. Show us how to live our daily lives as true Christians after Jesus' own example. And after Jesus' example, we pray together as he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now have our Old Testament reading, followed by our responsive reading.
Good morning. Our Old Testament reading is from 1 Samuel 8, 4-20. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and his horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." Okay, the responsive reading, Psalm 1. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name, for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your frame.
When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me.
Come to the part in our worship service where we have the special music. And today our special music is "Hallelujah, I Am Free."
The blood of Christ covers me.
Accept our offerings to you. We are so blessed to live in such a rich area of the world. We give with joy and peace, knowing that you have a great plan, a plan for all nations, a plan to have the gospel heard in all lands, a plan to bring man to yourself. Please use these offerings to accomplish your purposes here on earth. Amen. It's now time for the children's story, and I believe Mr. Richmond has a children's story this morning. So would the children like to come up front, please? Find a nice spot. Make eye contact.
That's all of us.
Wow, perfect. I think that I counted them out. And if I could get you just a lot, I'm going to get you guys to move right back over here a little bit. Okay. And each one of you is going to get two of these. Okay, and you can hold them out wherever you want to. Well, I know where she is. Believe me, I have an answer to this madness. This is a word scramble.
A word scramble?
Yeah, you gotta figure out what this is. Okay, now watch it. Okay, let's have a look at that. I'm going to go behind you. you can figure out, there's three words there someplace, and what I would like you to do is, you're not going to move the people. What we're going to do is you're going to take the card and move to see if you can spell out something there for me. Have a look at that. Now, here's some clues. Here's some clues. It's color-coded. The yellow goes with the yellow, green goes with the green, and the pink goes with the pink. If you feel like you know which one it is, you can go and move it.
It's number 473. It'll also be on your screen, and it's Victory in Jesus. We've sang this one before, and hopefully I don't play it too fast. But if I do, just try to keep up.
Precious love atoning.
It's now time for our pastoral prayer. So please join me now in prayer. Lord, we pray at this time for our needs and for the needs of those we love. We pray also for the need of our larger community and the world. So much need, Lord. It sometimes boggles our minds. We're at a loss for words. How blessed we are that you are a personal God and see all of our needs without even a word spoken. How blessed we are that you and your ways are so much greater and more eternal than we can comprehend. You have more power and more love and more mercy than our needs will ever require. Thank you. Thank you. We present in silence the burdens of our hearts and await with faith and with eagerness your answer to our requests. You know us well. We trust your work in our lives and in those for whom we pray. And we trust in your Son, who died so that we could have eternal fellowship with you. Amen. It's now time for the word of the Lord.
Morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." And our epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13 and chapter 5, verse 1. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands.
At this time, we'd like you to rise and sing 485 from the hymn book, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord."
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. Comes in like a flood. The battle belongs to the Lord. He'll raise up a standard, the power of His love. The battle belongs to the Lord.
We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
Will you pray with me now, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Good morning again. I'm honored to be up here this morning giving Ian a much needed break from his duties at Easter time. My sermon today is called The Master's Voice, and it's based loosely on the Bible study that we did this winter called Discerning the Voice of God. And I'll be a librarian for just one moment and say that the Bible study is now in the library, up higher. All the Bible studies are up higher. And if you can't do the study, then at least listen to the DVDs because they're very interesting. I'm not a minister, and I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not really qualified to preach. I can only offer my experiences and the insights I gain from them and from studying God's Word. I know they'll be received with grace and acceptance here. I hope, if nothing else, to provide you with lively debate over lunch today. There have been times in my life, and I'm sure in yours, when I have, without a doubt, heard God's voice. That wonderful, small, still voice, so clear and so right on the mark. I knew I had heard God's voice, I just couldn't remember when. And I was hungry for it. I needed it. I wanted to hear God speaking directly to me. Have you been there? Most of us, I think, would like to hear God's voice. We just never actually believe it's going to happen. That experience is reserved for someone more religious, more educated, more pure. Not me. I'm too ordinary. We present our requests to God, but do we ever actually believe that He will answer us? And then there's the problem of knowing for sure that we are hearing God's voice, not the world's, not our own, and not the devil's. How to be sure? I've been contemplating this issue for several months. It began during our Bible study this winter, and my search ended on Good Friday. Did God finally speak to me? Absolutely. Was I sure? Completely. Did I learn things? Oh boy, yes. When God speaks, it's like a private tsunami. It's miraculous and life-changing. because God's word always produces fruit. He does not speak without causing something to change. His word, after all, can create something out of nothing. But I realize that my miracles are not your miracles. It is enough to say that I was deeply affected and changed, and each one of you can have this as well. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I can tell this story with a sense of humor today, but if I had been asked to speak the Sunday after Easter, it would have had a much different tone. It was Maundy Thursday, and I was in the process of preparing a quick dinner, and then I hoped to attend the church service that evening. Just then the phone rang, and I made the mistake of answering it, and the events were set into motion for my brush with the voice of God. The call was apparently from a representative of Microsoft, informing me that my computer had sent so many error reports to them that it was in danger of crashing. How many of you received that same call? It is one of the top scams operating today. How many of you fell for the scam and let them talk you into opening your computer up to them? Loser. Yes? While normally sane and cautious, I ignored all the warning bells in my head, waved my husband away, who had arrived on the scene, and let my computer be hacked. And then I paid the scammer for doing it. The second the transaction was finished, my senses came back, and I realized that I had been scammed. And moreover, had heard the voice of crime, you might say, or evil, or the devil. I knew because I had learned something about it in that Bible study. I also knew because of the fallout afterwards. But obviously God felt I needed this life lesson. It was not an evil-sounding voice, quite the contrary. The devil can be very charming and persuasive. He knows about each of us, so he can tempt us in all those ways that prey on our weaknesses and our desires. And he appeals to the flesh, so he often encourages us to react from the gut and from impulses and fears, react quickly rather than think things through. He's the master of making something look better than it really is. But he didn't just want to scam me for $209. His primary purpose was the fallout of the scam, because I felt stupid. I felt used and I felt violated. I felt condemned for my mistake. Booyah. The devil won. Sandra, zero. Condemnation from the enemy gives us a false sense of guilt. Even though I was the victim, I felt guilty. It leads to feelings of worthlessness, that you're a bad person. And its ultimate goal is to turn you away from God in fear or dread or shame. It stops, boom, our potential, and thwarts our purpose, our holy purpose. And I learned something about myself in all of this and my role. Yes, I was a victim, but I have a responsibility as a Christian to be aware of the devil and how he operates, to set aside my rose-colored glasses and pull my head out of the sand, to not be gullible, not be a sitting duck. The Bible teaches us about this in several places. Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." 1 Peter 5:8, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Matthew 10:16, "I am sending you out like a sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. And finally, Ephesians 6, 13-17. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. After a long, sleepless night of changing passwords, telephone calls to the bank, and a good measure of negative self-talk, I came to the Good Friday service a wreck. I performed my elders' duties tearfully, feeling quite unworthy to serve you. I gazed miserably at the cross draped in purple. And then Jesus spoke to me. If you had come to the Maundy Thursday service, he said, you would not have been scammed. No accusations, no great words, just the truth. And a solution to my immediate problem. Yes, I thought, yes. And then as I gazed on that cross, he spoke again, and I realized in a great rush of conviction that Jesus on that cross was my protection from all evil. In fact, he had died on that cross to protect me from the evil one forever. Before I was born, before I was scammed. When he speaks, God solves immediate problems, and he also reveals his eternal plan. Then as Ian spoke his message, God continued to speak to me and to convict me. For while the devil condemns, Jesus convicts, and the difference is as night is today. God only targets our sins, never the person. He explains rather than accuses. He shows a solution. He comforts. He is patient. He allows us time to soak in his word. As a plumbing company, we have often been told when payday is and what runs downhill. But it was in those moments of Ian's sermon that I realized that God's grace always flows downhill, down to me, a dejected sinner, so in need, so at a loss, so scammed. Down to you in your worry and trials, down to all whom he loves and sent his son to die for. For there's power at the cross. As Ian said that day, something happened when the Lord of life was suspended between heaven and earth, and that something destroyed forever the power of the forces of darkness to wreck our lives. And there is forgiveness for my stupidity, for my sins, and for yours. The result of God's voice in my life? Peace. We long for peace, and yet here it is, right in God's voice. It produces a closeness to God, a drenching of his grace, and a unification of my purpose with God's plan. I have a new commitment to God because of his voice. And what will my response be to the voice of God in my little, ordinary life? Repentance, thankfulness, an overwhelming love for our Savior, immediate action, and a willingness to share with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise be to God. Amen. And now, I believe, we have a hymn.
Number 447, Freely, Freely.
Jesus' name, I come.
as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know.
To be God's people.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need of yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer. God's people in this place, live his goodness, share his grace, proclaim God's mercy through his Son. He is love to everyone. And when we falter, be thou our comfort, guide us as your children, that our lives may be a beacon in this darkness that surrounds us, a light that others then may see. To be God's people in this place, live his goodness, share his grace, proclaim God's mercy through his Son, be his love to everyone.
And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
Thanks. I have my good old lighting.